Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name
what?
Is...
Dr. Drake.
Get it.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah.
I never get old.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, we come to
you
liven up your
sound. Get it,
yes,
Rob.
We have.
Get it, Rob.
I'll regale you with tales of triumph and splendor.
Get it up, Rob. Hit it up, man. Be the hype, bro. Come on, bro. You got to be the hype man, Rob. Come on.
Hey, y'all got to wake me up, man. Come on. Let's get it going.
What just happened? I'm trying to, get him, you're supposed to be, Flavor Flav, bro. What? Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I know, man. I go back on you, man. Hey, man, welcome to Sports Talking Sports with the 12th.
I got a letter from the government the other day.
Start,
I opened it. Read it.
Said they were sucking.
They wanted me to put the army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn. I said never.
Man.
Come on, Ross.
How long has it been? It's been a state kid.
Man, y'all are clowns.
Finish it, Andre.
Yeah.
Oh man, that used to be a whole lot, man. I used to take that back, man. Oh, we gotta start the show, because I've been talking a lot of junk. I've been hyping it up for a couple people too. But again, let me just set the stage here. We're on a Wednesday night, starting with my crew, with my fellows who I wouldn't trade for anything unless I got the right offer. But anyway, Mr. JP, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm recuperating. That was a fantastic baseball odyssey from Friday and ending today. Getting to meet Johnny Bench and get a picture taken with it, boy. Just jump on somebody, like a little schoolgirl gets called and they're like, oh, go Johnny Bench. Yeah. It was crazy, yeah. Bro. I had a good time. Glad to be back talking sports with you.
Were you wearing
that's gotta
red
be classy
whenever you saw
red,
you
man.
Or
I'm sure, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? So, real quickly, it was crazy. At the fan park was outside. They didn't advertise he was there. You know, they just had, a lot of little stuff where you get, buttons and beads and, play some games and get some samples. And Kingsford had a tent, and we went past the Kingsford tent, and we saw Wilson Contreras, the Cubs catcher, in there signing and taking pictures. He was like, oh, man, Wilson Contreras. So we get in line and talk to Wilson Contreras, and then we walk getting ready to walk away, and I just happened to look over, and Johnny Bench is just standing right there. And I was like, oh, wait, it's Johnny Bench. And, he was really cool and took a picture with me, my homeboy. Hey, man, listen, I was in there I was starstruck. I would own it. I was like, oh, my God, there goes Johnny Bench standing right there. It was crazy.
That's crazy, bro. That's cool, man. Like I said, man, I know. Yeah. Man, you got to share that experience for sure, man. That was definitely one for the ages, man. Again, if I ran into something like that, I'd be the same one, man. So I ran into Kenny Anderson, one of my favorite players, too, man, from Georgia Tech. And I was
nice.
So it was cool, man. So I get it, man. Hey, Rob, how you feeling this evening, bro? We got to focus on Rob, make sure he's good to go, man. But how you doing, man?
Yes, sir.
I'm good, man. I'm slowly waking up, so let's get this party started. Let's make it do what it do.
All right, we're gonna kick off to Rod first to make sure he's on his P's and Q's there, JQ. But, again, we are officially talking sports with the 12th man. Shout out to my boy Jimmy, to my cousin. Hopefully he'll call in from the West Coast, man. He was all excited whenever we're talking some sports stuff. Again, but that number to call into the show is always 424-243-9519. Holler at your boys. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, 12th Man Sports. Last but not least, on Facebook, go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us as well. All right, kicking it off, Rob. Let's start with Big 3 basketball, bro. What you got on us for this?
Man, obviously this is the second year. They're in the process of, second year of this league. Ice Cube, one of the creators, Clyde Drexler, of all people, is the commissioner of this league. I think got about 10 teams, And basically, they touring different cities and things of that nature. I know last year, Rashard Lewis was the MVP, averaging about 21 points a game. I've actually had a chance to sit down and watch some of them. It's actually pretty interesting. Never thought a half-court basketball would be exciting, you know, on television. But, you know, they keep the fans into it and things of that nature. It's mostly, you know, former NBA players. Most of them have retired or so, been out of the league within the last 5 years. But, you know, it's actually pretty cool what Ice Cube has done, and it's become a revenue maker and on television too. So very intriguing.
Stay tuned for my Big Four basketball real quickly, but go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Oh, goodness gracious, you're so stupid. they'll be here in I believe they're coming. I think they might be coming to do a tour here in Atlanta out there at Gwinnett Energy Arena. But, yeah, it's a great way to get these guys that are still, like you said, just out of retirement but still in good shape, not able to really play the rigors of an NBA schedule, but still can give you those flashes and get together and produce a quality product. And people seem to still like it. You know, you get certain personalities. The only thing I've seen not owned to it, I believe that was this year, where Nate Robinson and Rashawn McCants got into it. And they were getting ready to get into a fight. I think where Nate Robinson had won the game, I guess they had been talking really good stuff to each other during that game.
Yep.
And they came close to coming to blows. That was, and it's like, so you see that competitive fire is still there with those guys, and they're taking it very seriously. So, again, that dude Ice Cube is one smart dude from the Friday franchises and everything else that he's doing. He just has his pulse on, finger on the pulse, so to speak, and, you know, he's producing a quality product. I hope that it stays around and continues to grow.
Yeah. Just be careful what you say about those guys still being somewhat shape. I don't know if you've seen Glenn Big Baby Davis in that league.
Well, your nickname is already Big Baby. I mean, we already knew that he had a problem with his weight from his days there. So him, yeah. But I mean, but the Clippers that I saw, you know, not full on. And that's why those guys again can't be in the NBA. Not full on. Just oh my gosh, they can go back in there and start hooping. No, they can't. But in terms of glimpses and running into places they know how to run and whatnot, they can still give you that, you know, a sprinkle throughout that game and keep you in there. Yeah, exactly.
And, one
player in particular that have shown some really good flashes to me is Baron Davis. And, I mean, he's really shown some flashes in that league. You know, I know it's just half-court basketball, but he's shown some flashes in there that makes me think he can still compete in the NBA. And I'm sure some of these guys probably can. You know, he can still hit the three-point over anybody, and he can still get to the rack. And so, I mean, he's been a guy that I have been impressed with in the league.
I had heard about comeback rumors for him before this started, so maybe that's just another, you know, step in that direction.
And it's funny, man, whenever you talk about Shea, whenever you said Big Baby Davis, you know what it reminded me of? Man, Sean Kemp, like, blew up. That's what it made me think about, man. You talk about somebody that's like, man.
Well, he's not in it.
Like, I know he's not in it, but it just reminded me, like, how big he blew up, man. Because, you know, he was just, like, the truth in him and Gary Payton back in the day, and he just, like, he just blew up, man. Anyway, all good.
I was a fan of that team, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were fun.
The glove and Detlef Shrimp.
Detlef Shrimp, yep. Chris Malone was on that. Never mind. Try to tell you, go say that. Hey, all right, let's have some fun. Hey, really quickly. Now, Big Three was actually doing their thing, and I'm a huge fan of Nate Robinson too, man. I think he's just a funny character too, man. They had a good thing on him with Shaq and the Fool, and he's just seems like he's an entertaining dude as well, man. So that's just a good call from that perspective too. So let's keep it going here, gentlemen. Let's talk about Mr. Josh Hart. He had a pretty good breakout summer. What do you think about this, and will it translate to the regular season, Rob?
I think it will. I think he's going to be a top eight player for the Lakers next year. And I think you're going to see him actually even have a chance to be a starter. But I think at worst, he's going to be a top eight player and an impact player for this Laker team on next season. Yeah, I mean, you can sometimes you just got to go by the eye test. And I think he passes the eye test based on what he's shown in the summer league. I know the Lakers went to the semi. I know they were in the semifinals against Cleveland. I'm not sure who won that matchup in the summer league.
They did.
But,
I think the Lakers won it again. Lakers won that game.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And but he's shown tremendous flashes here in the summer league. And like I said, sometimes you just got to go by the eye test And you can tell he's really working on improving his game, and I think he's going to be a major piece, whether it be a solid contributor off the bench or even have an opportunity to be a starter on their team.
What say you, Jake?
I totally agree, and that's one of those reasons why I was always talking about with Kawhi, and we'll get to that, is that I wanted, you know, empty the cover, so to speak, to get in, because you've got some really nice young pieces. I think that if they take the step forward, I'm not saying they can win the title, but they can get back to competing for real, competing for a playoff spot, and you're looking at LeBron, and you're looking at these other free agents, because 2019 is loaded as well. Like, okay, they've got LeBron, and I don't necessarily want to play with him, but he gives me a really good chance to win. But they also have some other pieces. You're going to have those one to two or three top guys, but you got to have those other mid-tier guys from four to eight that can be part of your rotation, that can spell those guys, that can have those nights where they fill a void when the starter isn't playing his best, so to speak. You know what I mean? You got to have that combination of guys. And I feel like if you put Josh Hart with Ingram and with Kuzma, those three, and then if you get anything from KCP and maybe Rondo in terms of his passing, you got, you know, a three to five guy mix. And, of course, I didn't say Lonzo Ball because I'm not counting on anything from that dude. But everybody else, along with LeBron, you say, okay, they can start to compete. And if I'm a free agent, again, Josh Hart's helped put the Lakers back to that for real role of respectability of, we're not just selling you on it being L.A. We went and got LeBron, and outside of LeBron, the cover is not there because you've seen Josh Hart do this. Everybody thinks Ingram can explode. We saw what Kuzma did last year. So it helps them take those incremental steps to getting back to that top tier in the Western Conference. If you have those pieces in place, you can attract free agents based on also the basketball part you're putting on the floor.
Yeah, you got just enough mixed with the right veteran pieces, too. I still think you maybe missed one more piece, though. I mean, but you love the Lance Stevenson move. You love, you know, obviously getting Rondo. That's a huge move, obviously. And like you said, they got enough veterans to kind of balance it out, too. But, you know, again, they'll be a fun team to watch for sure. And like you said, I think Josh Hart, he had a great summer, as you mentioned, Rob. That's going to do nothing but help his confidence, man. So, again, it's looking good for the Lakers. They're not quite there yet, but I think they're going to be entertaining the squad for sure, man. So, it's going to be good, man.
No, they're definitely not a championship team, though. I definitely wouldn't go that far at all.
Yeah, no.
We were saying that I'm just going to say they're going to be very exciting to watch now. I mean, that's the good thing. You know, definitely they have a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
They're still, you know, like I said, they've got a right mix. But, again, like I said, from this perspective, they are building. And so, you know, like I said, it's not going to happen this year, but it's looking good. Good job to Magic Johnson, too. All right, so big piece, as we talked about.
Where do they rank going into next season? I mean, you know, there are some people that catapult the Lakers all the way to number two in the Western Conference. I don't see that.
No, to me, I don't think
they've made enough moves. I mean, they will have to have at least one or two of these young guys to really, really make a huge leap going into next season for them all be all the way up to number two. I mean, on the surface, at the moment, this team still only has one all-star. I mean, albeit he's a superstar, but they only have one at the moment. So I just can't see them catapulting all the way to number two of the Western Conference, what some people believe.
Hell no.
And I still, even if they do make the playoffs, I still see them somewhere being somewhere between the number six to a number eight.
I say eight.
It'll be
ten.
Good.
I would say 8 to 10.
It'll be good. I'm just being honest.
I would love them to be higher. Yeah, I agree. They're not close. I challenge for a playoff spot, not be a playoff lock. They're not a playoff lock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So breaking news: as Rob hit us up at like 5 something this morning about Kawhi Leonard being traded for DeMar DeRozan. And I think it's an interesting move, guys, because for whatever reason, you know, DeMar just didn't seem to have that, like, final move whenever he was in Toronto. And again, I'm not quite sure. You're starting to hear some rumblings, JQ, that Kawhi doesn't want to go to Toronto. So, again, I know if you're the Spurs, you're like, man, there's no way I'm trading to the Lakers. You're freaking asking for your mama, but they were not in a good negotiating position, so they got something. But again, what say you about this move? And we'll ask Rob if it's actually going to go through, man. I don't know if Kawhi can sit out or whatever, but it's just crazy, man. But what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, the thing about it is, you know, I don't feel bad for Kawhi because Kawhi doesn't come out and speak up for Kawhi. You know what I mean? Like, if he came out and said something, anything about what he wanted to be, what he wanted to do, then you could understand it. But
he
one day
he
likes Lakers, but then, I mean, mm-hmm. to a point. But then I've heard other stories. Come say, oh, when LeBron's there, I really don't want to go there. I might want to go to the Clippers. And Philly isn't out of the equation yet either. So it's like he all these things still keep you having these tangents of things that can happen, and he's not putting any of that stuff to bed. I mean, as far as the trade itself, I mean, yeah, I've read that Boston and Philadelphia, it was like those guys, those superstars, those young guys, they're like, you can't have any of those. And that Covington, Sarge, and I think a first-round pick that Philadelphia's offering wasn't enough. So they get a protected first round, which could turn into 2 second-round picks. But you get DeMar DeRozan, who's not trash. And I don't want to say that, you know, I was going to say until Toronto proves it to me that I don't believe it. But he's not trash. And, yeah, he's got a little bit of an honorary salary. But you feel like, okay, I take a step back with him. But I still have a Marcus Aldridge. And then if I feel like I can get somebody to come there or meet your level, I can still do what I've been doing and build around there and use my system to elevate these guys. And if you're Toronto, I like it for Toronto. Even if they don't keep him, he's still another tradable asset. You know, when he comes, we have a trade, I think, in December before the trade deadline. So you have to keep him and get nothing for him. You might still be able to move. He's just sitting there like, I ain't playing, yada, yada, yada. You can still get 25 cents better than getting no cent. You know what I mean? So, but if you can convince him to come play, if sell him on it the same way Oklahoma City sold Paul George, you're showing your fans that we're swinging for the fences. And most of us want our teams to swing for the fences and feel like they're trying to be all in. It may not work, and it probably won't, but you said we traded for Kawhi, and we're trying to take the next step in the East to compete with the Philadelphias and the Bostons. We're trying. We'll sell him on this if he leaves. You know, you can be mad at us, but at least we tried. We saw what was happening with DeMar, so running that back again was going to result in the same end, and I believe everybody knows that. So some change for them. So I like it for both teams, really. I like the boldness for Toronto, and I like the San Antonio of, okay, you know, we still try to keep the ship right a little bit. We can fill in around these two guys and see what we can do. Or, again, they become tradable assets. You know, they still are. So I like it for both teams. I really do. San Antonio, I think, got the maximum value they could get given the circumstance of everybody saying Kawhi is a foregone conclusion to L.A.
Yeah, let's keep Rob awake because, again, that's the question. Was this enough to get Leonard? I mean, is DeMar the guy? I mean, is that enough? I mean, that's the question, too. I mean, Rob, what's for you about this trade, bro?
Well, I totally agree. I mean, I totally agree that I like what both teams got out of this trade. I really do. I know from Toronto's point of view, this is a big gamble because obviously Kawhi Leonard is going to be a free agent after next season. And so it's similar to the gamble that Oklahoma City made on last season with Paul George. With him obviously going into the free agency. But Toronto has, you know, been number one, number two seed in the Eastern Conference the last few years, and they kept losing to LeBron James in the playoffs here. And obviously now they're making a bold move. Obviously, it's a bold move because we don't know how healthy Kawhi Leonard is. We really don't know. Is he going to come back to the same form? Obviously, before the injury, he was a top three player in the NBA. So if Toronto was getting that type of player in return, then they're right back in the mix for the Eastern Conference Championship. They don't have to compete with LeBron James anymore. Boston is still a young team. Philadelphia is still a young team. So Toronto would definitely be in the mix. I'm not sure, you know, what kind of results they're going to get from the new coach. But if he materializes to continue to be a top three player in the league, this is a bold move. And it clearly puts Toronto to win in the Eastern Conference. Like I said, it's a gamble because you're banking on him to be healthy, number one. You're banking on him to hopefully want to stay in Toronto after this next season. So it's still a big gamble from Toronto, but on the surface, you go all out for this 1 year. And as JQ mentioned, as far as the Spurs is concerned, hey, you got to look at it like this. The Spurs basically made the playoffs last season in a tough Western Conference as a number 7 seed without Kawhi Leonard all year last year. So, I mean, you're basically putting DeMar DeRozan in the spot. And so you got to think they're going to be better than a number 7 seed just from the simple standpoint. They didn't have Leonard last year at all, and now you're getting not a superstar player like Leonard is, but you're getting an all-star caliber player in DeRozan. Now, he hasn't stepped up to the plate in the playoffs, but I think with the right coaching and the right system and things of that nature, you got to put the Spurs back in the mix to possibly being a top 5 team in the Western Conference. They got a lot of young pieces, especially in the backcourt. That, you know, Kyle Anderson is really becoming a nice player as well for them. So, I mean, this is based on the situation for the Spurs, it could have been a lot worse. And like I said, last season they were a playoff team without Leonard the entire season in the tough Western Conference. So you got to like what they're going to get out of this as well.
And that young point guard.
Yeah.
Was it DeJounte Murray? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He's really good too. Yeah. Or trying to make some progress in the league too. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Good call.
I actually think if you're the Lakers as well, I mean, the Lakers are banking on getting him in free agency next summer. And I think that's a little bit risky if you're a Lakers fan. Because, I mean, and like I said, we tried that Paul George. You know, everybody thought he was going to be a Laker, including me. And he turned out not to go on this summer. So we don't know how this thing is going to work out with Kawhi Leonard. I just think another thing, you know, Magic Johnson is saying this is a 2 to 3 year process. I think what they have to remember here is LeBron James is how old?
33.
Yeah, 33, 34 years old. I mean, man, you got to be all in this year or LeBron James' first year. And to me, if all they were, you know, if they could have made it work with Ingram and Hart and a lottery protected first round pick, then shucks. I mean, to me, the Lakers, not saying I'm a Lakers fan or anything, but to me, they needed to be all in this year with trying to get Kawhi Leonard. LeBron James is not getting any younger. And you can't have a year just to wait until they have more cap space next summer, not with LeBron James and his age.
You know what? I agree with that to a point. But those three guys, they're going to need those three guys and Kawhi and LeBron to even have a fighting chance against Golden State. But the follow-up on that is it's not over yet, right? If he doesn't want to report and it gets friction and it just doesn't work out for Toronto with him, they can still move him. The Lakers can still get back in there. And they may not have to give up that much for Toronto because Toronto's like, man, we'll take just a little bit of something as opposed to nothing. This dude ain't even playing for us or is moping. You know what I mean? So
that's a bunch of baloney. When the season starts, he's going to be there. NBA guys don't hold out. They don't hold out. They're going to be there.
But say he goes there and he plays, but he's because of Peter, but it's known in the locker room. He ain't warming up to anybody. He ain't talking to anybody. He wants out. If you don't want that in your locker room, we talk about it a lot with chemistry, that they still may want to move him, and now you may not have to pay as much to Toronto as you do to San Antonio. One last thing, and I'll let you go with it. I've read a thing that said that he when he was in the All-Star game, he never left his hotel room when he was in Toronto because he hates the cold. Mm-hmm. So if that's how he feels about where he's going, where it's going to be damn cold part of that season, if he feels like that, that may be cause a problem with the locker room chemistry. That's my only point. You're right about the Lakers and LeBron and his age. I will not – that fact, but I just don't want to get into a Carmelo New York situation where those rotational pieces that you need to have to compete during the regular season, especially in the playoffs, if you have to give those away to get the second player, then those guys got to play another 40 minutes a night every night just to have a chance. You got to have a better big. So I don't want to give up the cupboard of my young guys to get him. Maybe you kick the can down the road and it just don't work in Toronto and you get him for a better deal. It's possible. It's not that's okay.
Yeah, well, it's possible.
The dirt on the grave.
Kawhi Leonard is somewhat of an enigma. His personality. He doesn't speak up. He's, you know, he's a guy that's very hard to read as well. So it's, you know, I'm not going to say strange, but he's, you know, not the typical superstar. And, you just don't see a whole lot of personality out of him. And so he's very hard to read as well. So this is going to be a very interesting situation. It is a gamble for Toronto. It could work out to work, you know, wonders for him. Or it could, you know, turn around and be a huge mistake as well for Toronto. And I think from the Spurs' perspective, they made a nice, safe move here to protect themselves and to still be somewhat successful. It doesn't put them in the championship conversation, but it still puts them into a conversation of being respectable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just wrapping it up, I think it's tough, Rob. I agree with you that Kawhi is definitely hard to read, but that's what makes it so tough because you don't know what's really true because people could be saying things and he really could be like, yeah, whatever, I don't really care because he's just that dude that just he's either he's incredibly an introvert and, you know, just only will say what needs to be said, you know. So, again, I'm not quite sure what to believe for sure. But as Rob said, we'll see if he does show up for the Raptors, and then we'll see if what's going to happen in that side with the Lakers, man. So, yeah, I know. We'll see. Hey, this is for you, JQ. And this is, I don't know if this is like a rhetorical question, man, but I guess, will the Lakers fans embrace LeBron James? That feels like a dumb question because the jerseys have already been sold out, you know, even as far as they're not sure what number he's going to have. But I don't understand why they wouldn't embrace LeBron James, though.
Well, I think a piece of it, and Rob touches on it, because they were such LeBron haters because of the whole he can't be better than Kobe argument. So they were going to defend Kobe to high hilt, and defending Kobe, they had to tear down LeBron. But that being said, that's a proud Lakers franchise and fans, and what they've been going through, what we've been going through, in terms, it's just not something we're used to as Lakers fans. It's just you know, winning 20 games and missing the playoffs and all that. Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's something that you're not used to. So if you get somebody that can come in and help you elevate that, you know, you're going to embrace them. You're going to embrace trying to get back to respectability and getting back to what, you know, yeah, you're spoiled. You're absolutely spoiled. And I would totally take that because as Lakers fans, we have been spoiled until recently. So when you're trying to get back to that level of spoiledom, it's like, man, you're going to give me arguably the best player in the game or maybe second now behind Kevin Durant. You can have whatever argument you want to have. Yeah, you're going to get behind that dude. You want him to stay. You want him to stay. You want him to call his homeboys and say, hey, come play here, or convince them that they should come play with them. You want to be in that conversation, and having him on the team puts you in that conversation to attract better players. So, yeah, you're going to embrace him. I don't know if you saw tonight, he teased that he was going to be at some pizza joint place out there, and people had that pizza place surrounded all day until they realized that he actually wasn't coming. He was just messing with them. Or I think it just got too out of hand that he didn't go. But that's where they were for it. So I full on believe that they're going to embrace him.
Rob?
Yeah. And, yeah, I think, you know, what the bottom line is, if you're a fan of your team, you're going to root for whoever's on your team. You know, eventually, you know, it could have been somebody you hated, but if you're a fan of your team, you're going to eventually come around to rooting for whoever's on your team. And, shucks, I mean, Andre, you can probably attest to this. That one year when y'all had Joe Horn on your team, I'm sure you hated him when he was with the Saints. But when he was with the Falcons, I'm sure you were rooting for him. And so it's just a I think regardless of whoever's on your team, you know, if Le'Veon Bell went to the Bengals right now, JQ would be all hands on deck. I think that's the bottom line is eventually you come around to rooting for whoever's on your team if you're a fan. But, you know, obviously if you were a Laker fan, you hated LeBron James because of the Kobe Bryant equation. And really you found yourself you found most Laker fans was even pulling for the Warriors just so LeBron James wouldn't win another championship. And I mean, you saw that a lot, and they were totally against LeBron James. So, but like I said, I think if you're a fan of your team, that all goes out the window. You root for, you all hands on deck, rooting for who's on your particular team.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Good call. All right, we got about 60 minutes of the show, fellas. We are going to talk about some Major League Baseball All-Star stuff, man. And what a good – man, you talk about a crazy game. All the home runs, gentlemen, just nuts, man. You know. Alex, you know, Bergman heads up, George Springer back-to-back. You know, obviously it was very exciting, you know, as the AL kind of had that extra inning All-Star game. And let's talk about that, too. And then obviously there's a couple things we want to talk about. I know we can talk about Aaron Judge taking Matt Scherzer deep. And just an interesting game, man. So, JQ, man, you were there. Tell us your thoughts, energy, everything you wanted to express about the All-Star game, bro.
Yeah, man. So I watched it from a bar around the corner from the stadium because they were just topping balls for the ticket prices. I was like, man, I can't get $300-$400 to get in this All-Star game. Y'all are crazy. I'm not going to do that. But the game itself, to me, reflected the state of baseball. Whatever, I know, not for that. the game reflected was how baseball is now. You got home runs, doubles, and strikeouts, and some walks. That's what baseball is. There's not a whole lot of hitting and running. There's no bunting. There's no stealing the bases. So the home run barrage, yes, I didn't expect it to that level because just the level of pitching talent that you had in that All-Star game was crazy. Like you said, Aaron Judge taking Scherzer deep was nuts. But for me, it hurt a whole lot watching Joey drop that foul ball and then having Hader give up that 3-run bomb right behind it. I said, come on, Joey. You know, everybody looking at me with my red stuff on, like, that's what y'all going to do? You're going to drop the ball, and then the next pitch is a 3-run home run. Like, that was tough for me personally. But then Scooter Jeanette in the bottom of the ninth, been doing that for us. You know, coming up huge, tying the game up, and then, like you said, the Astros going back-to-back. And then Joey finally getting on the board with a home run was a little too late. But it was a very, to me, it was a very exciting All-Star game. And I enjoyed it a lot. The crowd around the stadium wasn't great. The inner stadium was great, but it wasn't as packed as I thought it would have been for the All-Star game around the stadium. But the game itself, I really thought was a good showcase for baseball. Right behind Harper having that home run derby, I think that's a really good couple of days for Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, D.C. is still, you know, fairly new to being back in the baseball game. But, you know, obviously that's a huge sports mecca as well. So it's just a matter of time before you see the same love for the Nationals as you see, you know, for the Redskins in that market. But, you know, it's still fairly new to being back to baseball as well. But obviously Alex Bregman, you know, gave them the go-ahead home run there in the extra innings here. Everybody knows where he went to college, right?
Nobody cares.
LSU.
Yeah, you already knew what it was.
The baseball powerhouse. But anyway, shout out to Alex Bregman and LSU.
Baseball powerhouse, I don't think.
Thank you for representing us well and bringing home that All-Star Game MVP, Alex Bregman. Even though come playoff time, on the Yankees will kick y'all ass.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hey,
good game though.
I was gonna say this too, and we talked about this. The baseball is the one All-Star game where everything is as it should be. You get the best stars are the best. Mm-hmm. It's played the way it should be played. It's one of the greatest All-Star games, you know, I think, you know, because everything, there's no, you don't fear about getting, you know, it's just play the way it should be played, man. So good call on that, man. Bryce Harper too, I definitely think that, man, I mean, it was just tailor-made for him to win that, man. He's, you know, a national, so just worked out perfectly that he would actually win. And everything just worked out, man, you know. So, again, whenever I knew he was up, man, Freddie Freeman, I'm like, come on, man. You knew he was going to be out for that one, man. It is like a no-win situation, man. So, again, it was just interesting to see that, man. I don't think that Freddie Freeman's a home run hitter anyway, but even though he jacked up 13, which is pretty cool, but it was I'm happy that he's able to do a little something. But, yeah, good job for Bryce coming back. Pretty exciting. And I know we're kind of jumping a little earlier about that too. And what do you think? Do you think he does deserve that, you know, that biggest contract, about $400 million is kind of what's being bantered around, Rob? Or is that kind of just, you know, do you think he deserves that?
I don't, personally. I mean, you don't $400 million? Come on, man. Come on. That's
yeah, it's tough because how do you justify that? Well, I mean, what you got to do, bat 400 and hit 50 home runs and have 125 RBIs like every year? Like, how do you justify 400? I mean, yeah,
how we
and the
jump
minute
from
you have a little slump. Yeah,
how do we jump from the richest contract right now being at the $200 million to jumping all the way up to the $400 million on a particular player?
Well, that's over.
Yeah, I mean,
it don't matter. It's over. He's killed it. 225 or 220 batting average, and what he's gone through, he's killed it. And, you know, the thing about it that's crazy is that could work out for the Nationals because they want him to perform better. But the lower he, you know, his cost goes down, the better chance they have to re-sign him. At 400, that wasn't happening. You only got a select few teams up there in the Northeast that's probably going to be able to afford him, or L.A. with that kind of contract, which if you come back down to them, it's probably going to be in the 200s. I still think he's going to get in the 200s. I think he's going to get the richest contract. It's going to be between, you know, 270, 300. It's not going to be 400, but 300 is still insane. But just a last point about that, when I was there, like, people were clapping and got a little excited. It's just, you know, again, I'm not trying to be a homer, but when we were in Cincinnati for the All-Star weekend and Todd Frazier was in it, I mean, they cut the music off. People stood up for the whole time that he was batting and ran, going crazy shots afterwards. It was nuts. And it kind of was like a little, you know, a little bit more than a golf clap, you know, in the BW3s by there. Everybody was like, yeah. And then it went back down. It was like, well, wait a minute, man. This is in your hometown. He's a hometown boy. Y'all got to be this should be packed. This should be standing room only. Like, what is happening? And it wasn't that. You might be right, Rob. That
well, Cincinnati is a much bigger baseball town, especially when you talk about the history of the Big Red Machine and, you know, the Nasty Boys. I mean, there's just so much more history when it comes to baseball.
But that's Washington. You should be like, yeah, I agree with him. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you're right. But in the context of this game is being played around the corner in your home ballpark with your hometown boy in it, like mm-hmm. I would feel like the buzz would just be through the roof. And I mean, in the stadium it was, but I mean, outside the stadium, you know, where you would think, like we went to Orchard Camden Yards on Saturday. They're in last freaking place. The bars right around the stadium that you could see was packed to the gills. And I know Baltimore has more of a tradition, but, you know, to the gills with people all up and down there in all orange and black, you know, hanging out. It's like, man, you wouldn't even know these guys was in last place. And that wasn't for the home run derby. That was just for the last game before the All-Star break, or the second to last game before the All-Star break. If Bryce Harper's in it and you're right down, you have a chance to be down there and be in that atmosphere, I feel like people would have jumped on it. Maybe not all the way to what happened with Todd Frazier, because Cincinnati's smaller and the way the setup was a little different. But it was, it was hard to explain. I felt like the buzz was at like a 5, and it should have been at like a 9 or a 10 at minimum.
And when y'all get a chance, y'all got to Google how the Japanese do a home run derby and how creative they get with it when you get an opportunity. I mean, it is insane.
Okay. All right. We'll do that.
I will check that out.
All right, gentlemen. We got 8 minutes and 30-something seconds on the show here. Let's preview a couple of games here. The Reds at Reds and Pirates, or Pirates of the Reds, and the Braves at the Nationals. So start off with your boys, JQ, about the previews, man.
Yeah, the only thing about it, I mean, I enjoyed my trip and the fact that it came up. But a piece of me was not ready for the All-Star game to come up just because the Reds were playing so out of control. They've been so hot that I didn't want them to cool off. You know, sometimes the worst thing you can have is that break and that rest when you're playing well. When you're playing bad, you welcome it. But when you're playing well, it's kind of like, oh, we kind of a little bit of a roll. You know, we don't want to break up that groove. But for the Reds, you know, again, for me, it's like we talked about earlier, is that you just want – I want to be respectable. And this goes to one, you know, a step in that direction. I believe it's a four-game set with the Pirates here starting off the second half of the season. And the Pirates are right above them in the standings. You know, if you want to finally get out of the last place of the standings, they can't do it with a sweep, I don't believe. But you can get closer to that and get closer to respectability as we go into August and down really the home stretch of the season. So that's really what it comes down to. The Pirates are also getting hot. I believe they swept the Brewers for 5 games right before the All-Star break or something like that. So you got two teams that were really hot going into the All-Star game playing each other, and they both know that, you know, they're trying to catch us. We want to keep them down if you're Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati is. We want to get closer to the fold and give ourselves, you know, not probable, but possible chance to get back in the situation. You got to find a way to at least get a split with Pittsburgh starting out. But if you can, at least get three out of four. I doubt they sweep them. But you got to find a way to keep winning series. You keep winning series, and you look up at the end of the month, you've gone 6, 7, 8 games above 500. You give yourself a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance, Rob?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I mean, the Reds were 6-4 in the last 10 games, so they were playing a much better baseball. So we've definitely seen that probably in the last month or so. You're starting to see the improvement out of them. Obviously, the Reds and the Pirates are still fourth and fifth in the National League Central. So both organizations still have a long way to go. But as far as peaking in the right direction, you're seeing that more out of the Reds than you are the Pirates right now. So, you know, you expect that, you know, in the second half of the year as well. So, I mean, you got to favor the Reds even going into this series as well.
I hope so.
About my Braves, man.
Yep.
Talk about Braves,
yeah,
and just to, we'll talk about just a really quick move too, because again, you know, Machado gets traded from the Orioles to the Dodgers. Very underrated move that just happened. That was crazy how that happened during the All-Star game, and it looks like the Dodgers are kind of like, hey, you know, they're ready to make some moves too. So, little underwhelming because I was hoping that the Braves would do something. I mean, we still have some time, but you know, now is the time to kind of, hey, you know, let's kind of make some moves here. So. They're going against the Nationals coming up, and obviously I don't think the timing is right because what's just happened with Bryce Harper too, but hopefully we can kind of make a statement too. So what about this part for this, Rob?
Well, obviously this is a big stretch here for the Braves here. I mean, the Phillies, I think, have a half-game lead over them in the National League East.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be a serious race. I mean, the Phillies are playing outstanding right now, too. And I mean, it's going to be a dead heat going toward the final stretch here in the regular season between the Phillies and the Braves. And the Nationals, I mean, you still got to watch them, too. This is their chance to get back in it. I think the Braves have an opportunity to totally distance themselves from the Nationals and kind of eliminate them here this weekend, too. So we'll see how hungry they are, you know, going into this first weekend after the All-Star break. But obviously, the way it looks like it's going to be a serious race between the Braves and the Philly, and both of them have the personnel to move forward and both make the playoffs.
Yeah, and even outside of that, the Phillies also, the Braves as well, have the prospects to go swing the deal as well. Because you talk about Abdul Herrera and Scott Kingery and Nola. They've got some good young pieces in Philadelphia. I know we don't like to talk about it, but they've done a good job of restocking that, you know, that farm system. Those guys
are scared.
Come up and show up. Yeah, they might be good for a while to come. It just depends on how much they have to give away. The Dodgers, like you said, getting Machado. And the guy Tatis, the big part of that trade going back, hit two home runs in the Futures game I was at. So, you know, Baltimore getting some good young talent, and Lord, don't they need it, because that was some miserable baseball when I watched the Rangers and the Orioles on Saturday. I mean, that was bad baseball, bro. Like, it was bad baseball.
You got to watch the Dodgers, too, in the National League.
He said
you got to watch them again.
Yeah,
it was bad baseball. It was hard to watch at times. Like, okay, I know we came to see Camden Yards to see some of this game, but good Lord, y'all ready to go? Like, it's 6-inning, we was looking like, yeah, let's go ahead and ride. You know what I mean? Get the night started. So the Orioles definitely need that infusion of talent. And I agree, Rob. I don't know if they can kill him yet. I mean, I agree they can get themselves, you know, an upper leg and make Washington have to work so much harder getting Strasburg back and getting back into the rhythm where Washington's going to have to get crazy hot because you got two teams to catch if the Braves can kind of, you know, get a series win right here or sweep them. They sweep them. They put Washington more behind the eight ball. Does Washington go make a trade and say, hey, we got too much talent to be where we are? Maybe we just need a shot in the arm here, and if they go make a move for a hitter or for a pitcher, depending on what they think Strasburg is going to do or not be able to do, so to speak. So very, very important series coming out of this All-Star break for my Reds and for your Braves, Dre.
Yeah.
And again, we'll see how the chips fall. I don't think they can bury them yet, because you still got two solid months left in August and September, but they can really put Washington behind the eight ball where they have to get on like a 700-800 clip here for a couple of weeks to get themselves back in the conversation, which is very, very hard to do in baseball. So, very important. Braves Nationals coming up here.
Yeah, Washington Dodgers in the National League too. They have an opportunity to make a run here in the second half of the year. How about the American League? Three teams over 60 wins already: Red Sox, Astros, and Yankees. That's going to be serious.
Yeah, and you're still talking about the Mariners also sent back there, and the Angels. They just can't freaking catch the dang on Astros because they're playing so out of their mind. Yeah, that American League is crazy.
Yeah.
2 minutes, Rob. Set it up for OT, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in on tonight. Obviously, we're wrapping up the live portion of our show. We're getting ready to go to the OT portion of the show. Obviously, we still got a lot to talk about. We still have some Major League Baseball to cover, to recap. From the All-Star game on last night, as well as we got some, we're going to continue our NFL the division predictions, that series. So we're going to do at least one of those every week. Last week we cut up at the NFC North. So if you're fans of the Rams, the 49ers, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks, we're going to talk about the NFC West in our OT portion. Not sure which division we're going to do next week. We're going to do either the NFC East or the NFC South. So we'll continue wrapping up the NFC predictions in our series of predictions. Training camps are getting ready to start on next week. So we got to get you ready and get you ready for the season. And, JQ, don't sleep on Toronto, man. Toronto is in New York City of Canada, man. So we got great nightlife, great culture. And so who knows? Kawhi Leonard and Matt can deal with the cold. And it's hard to like it there in Toronto. So we'll see. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back. Are we going to do Sunday night this week?
That works for me.
All right, we'll be back at you on this coming Sunday night. We're going to come at you with 3 days rest again. We got our playoff pitchers rest here. So we're going to come back at you with 3 days of rest and come back at you on Sunday night. this coming week, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. We'll be back at you this coming Sunday night. Click on the same link tomorrow. We'll get you the OT portion. Once again, we still got some baseball and some NFL to talk about. So definitely click on the same link. We'll get that covered for you. Good night, people.
Yeah, good night, people. I've heard good things about Toronto, so I'm not going to say that. I've heard really, really incredible things about Toronto. And last, I think I might have to go on a hiatus next year for All-Star Game because it's in Cleveland, and like Jakeem Noah said, who when you and your family go on vacation, do you go to Cleveland? Like, you know,
the mistake
like,
by the lake.
yes, sir. I'm not really interested in going to Cleveland next year. I may change my mind. Who knows? But you know, thank you, DC. Even outside what I said, I had an awesome time in New York, Baltimore, and DC. So appreciate all
the
love.
We should do the NBA All-Star Game next year.
Yeah, I got to look into it. But I will definitely be in 2 years in LA for 2020 for All-Star Weekend because that's gonna be crazy for baseball. I'll see into something different here next year in 2019. But enjoy your DC. Appreciate it. Good night, people. Talk to you next week.
I got to say, JQ, Rob took up pretty much the whole section for the OT portion, so that was just pretty much you just, like, talking to us off air. But you were having such a good time. I don't want to cut you off, man, but Rob literally took, like, 2 minutes on that close, man. So, thank Rob for that,
it's
man.
It's all good.
It just dawned on me. Hey, I meant to comment about Toronto early, and I didn't.
That joke took, like, 2 minutes to get that statement out. Hey, and I'm rolling with JQ for that All-Star game, bro. I just got to hang out with JQ, man. That's my boy, man. I'm like, yo, let's make it happen, man. Let's kind of tour it, man. Let's have some fun, man, for sure.
LA 2020?
Most definitely, man. 2020, man. Let's make it happen,
yes,
man. Let's have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we need a fellas trip.
There you go.
Not a bad idea, man. We got to hit Vegas, too, man, because Vegas was so much fun, man. So, again, not to get into trouble, just have a good time, man. It was fun, man. So, anyway.
Viva Las Vegas.
So let's talk about a couple things here.
Las Vegas.
Let's talk about really quickly. I do want to just make this last point about Major League Baseball and should they expand to 32 teams. So I'll let you tackle that, Rob, and let Jakey kind of finish it up. And we'll talk about Terrell Owens and some stuff with Jakey's favorite team, the Steelers. But go ahead, Rob, with that thought.
Well, obviously it's very interesting that Major League Baseball is back at a point where they're starting to see some growth again in the game. And if you – a few years ago, maybe not a few years ago, but 10 years ago, you saw some lack of interest in the, especially with the younger audience when it comes to baseball, but they're starting to get some growth back in the game again. So it's really interesting, about the expansion. Obviously, the NBA is 30 teams, same as Major League Baseball. NFL is 32, so Major League Baseball is looking to possibly expand to 32 teams. The question is, do we have some viable markets out there that can support baseball? Nashville is a very hot market right now that baseball is really looking at. Even though Nashville's business economy-wise is really growing and is really thriving right now, but can they – obviously they got an NHL team and they have the Titans in the NFL – I know they just got a soccer team, but, I don't know if soccer counts just yet. But but can that market really support another third, big league, ball club? So, but that is a hot market right now that Major League Baseball is really looking at. Portland is another market that Major League Baseball is looking at. And Portland is another market where, from a business standpoint, is a thriving market. Obviously, Nike is headquartered there in Portland. And really, they only have one major professional sports team in the Trailblazers. In my opinion, that, could be a market that I would look at probably even before Nashville just because you don't want to saturate too much. Obviously, Las Vegas is another market Major League Baseball is looking at. Obviously, the Raiders are moving there. He just got a hockey team as well. Vegas is still growing like weeds, and the main economy there is driven by gambling. So that's kind of risky when your main industry is really tourism and gambling. So in my opinion, that's still somewhat of a risky market before you start saturating it with too many professional sports teams. Charlotte is another one. Obviously, Charlotte is probably the number one banking town in America. So obviously the money is there. And also you got NHL, you got the NBA, and you have the NFL there. So it's a lot of professional ball club. I think the hockey team is actually in Raleigh-Durham. So I don't think they have a hockey team in Charlotte. So actually this would be the third major league, you know, if they consider Charlotte. And then they're also considering two markets in Canada and possibly Mexico City, to be honest. Mexico City, and be perfectly honest with you, I think baseball would thrive in that market. I mean, you got close to 20 million people there. They love baseball. You know, I don't know how much of a travel standpoint, but out of all the cities as mentioned, if they're willing to go into Mexico, that would be the most profitable
Mexico.
Of all of them. In my opinion, they're considering Montreal again. I mean, Montreal was a bust when they had the Expos, so I can't understand why baseball would even want to consider going back to Montreal. To me, I would just thrash that off the window. That's not going to work in Montreal. And then the last one they're considering is Vancouver, and that's another one I'll be really scared of. I think Vancouver is the most beautiful city in North America. But as far as supporting a Major League Baseball team, I cannot see it, even with a thriving business economy that they have in Vancouver. We saw what happened with the Vancouver Grizzlies in the NBA. I just can't see it working with Major League Baseball. So, in my opinion, I think the safest bet will be Mexico City and Portland, in my opinion, if they're expanded to additional markets.
Well, you know what? Yeah, no, I can make some cases for it. So obviously, go ahead and tackle Vegas first. Pete Rose, yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, just go ahead and leave that at that. They're not going to introduce that again right now, when, like you said, when they feel like they're growing. And if I look at it, we talk about it, which you also have to look at in terms of the other owners, right? The Seattle, and to have enough pool to say, you know what, we get all the Vancouver fans that love baseball anyway, and we get all the Portland fans that love baseball anyway. I don't want to share that power with them. You know, Vancouver is 2 hours north of Seattle and Portland, the same direction, in the other direction. So if I'm the Seattle owners, I'm going to be trying to pull all my cachet in the room of other owners I feel like that were sad with me and say, nah, player, no. We are the team in the Northwest. We're not getting ready to do that unless that happens. And I would bring up just what you said about Vancouver. I think Portland would work. I think they would thoroughly support a Major League Baseball team. My only thing is if I'm Seattle, I don't want that to happen. I'm getting all their fans coming to my gates and getting stuff and buying my jerseys. I don't want to split that dough with them. And then you shift over. I think you're right on Mexico City. I think that'd be crazy. But we got a president and an administration right now that's ruffling a lot of feathers with our Mexican brethren. So if you're talking about doing it now in this climate, I think that would be very hard to do. I think they would support it, but just the political aspect of it with this president, this climate, I don't know if that would work right now. But from a baseball standpoint, you know, and I'm not sure if they would want to support it. You would have to work on some of the pricing, I think, where you can make it more affordable. About in terms of baseball, you know, fever, definitely Mexico City. And then we talk about Nashville and Charlotte. I say the same thing if I'm an Atlanta Braves owner. The Atlanta Braves are the baseball team in the Southeast. I mean, Tampa Bay doesn't really count. And Miami and them have their own market. You look in Atlanta, they've got Georgia, they've got Mississippi.
Even Nashville.
Got Alabama.
Nashville is only 3.5 hours away from Atlanta.
Right, you've got Tennessee, you've got South Carolina, you've got North Carolina. You've got all those fans already that come down to the Braves game and listen to it on the radio and get it regionally on TBS and sometimes TNT. I don't want to split that pie. So I wonder how that works. But if I'm talking about in terms of who I really think would support it the best, I would personally really say Nashville. Nashville is just growing. They support the Titans really crazy and the Predators as well. If I'm baseball, I want to tap into Nashville right now because Nashville is just booming. And then you could twist my arm on the other three between Charlotte, I think, could support it, Portland for sure, and Mexico City. But Nashville would be the one that would just stick out just blaring, like, yes, let's get to Nashville. I wonder what kind of concessions they would have to make to the Braves, or if the Braves would try to block as much as possible for the reasons I just stated, that Portland would have a hard time with Seattle and want them to be in there as well. And then finally, you're right, Dre, you said you don't like it. You break up some of those rivalries. Like, you know, there's some geographical things you could do if you had Mexico City, Houston, Tampa, and you pull them into like an
Check you. What happened? Are we losing?
Oh wow. Well, I'll just piggyback off of what JQ was saying there as well. I know from baseball perspective, Nashville is the market that they're looking at right now as far as number one. And even the Tampa Bay Devil Rays is considered moving to Nashville as well. So that is the hot market for baseball. I just wonder if they're going to oversaturate that town too fast when you talk about the Titans and then the NHL team. But I can tell you from baseball perspective, that is the market that they're looking at, number one, what I think Portland being number two. But I just think Portland will be a more viable option just because you just have the Trailblazers there, and that's it.
Yeah.
And the only reason I would consider Mexico City because of the market size. But Nashville is the number one market that they're looking at. Portland is 5 hours south of Seattle. So, that's the good little distance. Obviously, I know Vancouver's only 3 hours north, and that is very close to Seattle. But Portland is still a good little way south of Seattle. That's about a five-hour drive down I-5. Nashville is only 3.5 hours away from Atlanta. But, Nashville will have all of Tennessee, a good portion of northern Alabama. They will have the state of Kentucky. And that would be a huge regional team as well. And I guess that's why, and then when you think about the local economy that Nashville has, you can see why baseball is considering that market. But like I said, I just wonder, can it handle a third professional team this fast?
Yeah, and that's the crazy part, too, because you think about what makes sense. And I don't know if I'm a total fan of the 32 because right now the way that the league is set up, there's five teams in each division. So
mm-hmm.
would it make sense to kind of like, you probably should bring six, right, to kind of make it even. Now you're bringing it two. Where are they going? It just I don't know if it's a good move, I mean, I would
– Yeah, you can't add that many teams at one time, though.
I know you can't. But I'm just saying –
You saturate the personnel too fast.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, but what I'm saying is that, you look – I mean, the whole thought process and is a green move. Where are these teams going to go? I mean, how are the divisions going to break out? It's just – I don't know. We'll see, man. Just one of those thought processes that I was looking at. Because right now, it's kind of perfect the way that it is as far as you have six divisions, five teams. It's kind of a good spot where it is right now, too. So, I don't know. For some reason, it looks like JQ can't come on. So, that's going to be disappointing not hear his take on everything, too. But I definitely wanted to talk about a couple things here. And we can wrap this up, too, Rob, if you want, man. But I know I definitely want to get your thoughts about Terrell Owens, and hopefully we'll talk about this definitely before the Hall of Fame stuff, man, because I know there's some thoughts about him playing with the CFL. And I definitely want to save this topic as far as him and what's happening with the Hall of Fame, man, because I just think it's just a travesty that he's performing like this, man. And he's actually saying he's not trying to disrespect the Hall of Fame, and it's kind of getting a little petty on both sides, but – whether Terrell's mad about everything, I just think it's a bad move for him, what he's doing, man, as far as trying to show out, man. So we don't have to talk about that. We can save that for next week. But, I don't know if this is how serious this is about the CFL or what, man, but if you want to comment on that, that's something you can talk about too, sir. Yeah.
Well, obviously, Terrell Owens is 44 years old, and obviously, the way he's behaving with the All-Star, the Hall of Fame situation.
Hall of Fame, yep.
I think this is a joke, and it's a slap in the face as well to the NFL and the previous Hall of Famers. But, he's 44 years old. If a team's willing to give him a chance to play, it's definitely going to be fun to watch to see if he can still play football at a high level. And, it's the CFL, it's not the NFL. But it's still professional football, and those football fields are so wide, and it's got an extra man on the field too. So, we're going to be able to see. He looks like he's in shape, but I think it'll be intriguing just to watch. He's going to bring, if he stays and if he makes a team, he's going to, bring some excitement to that league for sure going into Edmonton. So, that's to me, it's going to be interesting to at least tune in and see what happens.
I feel like he's a sideshow, bro, but that's a whole other conversation, man. But, again, all good. Le'Veon Bell, he has agreed to sign again the franchise deal. You're starting to wonder if the Steelers are just why are they not paying him, Rob? Is it just a situation where finances or just – what's the deal with that, man? It seems like an interesting situation.
Well, they obviously just can't reach a deal. And, Le'Veon Bell wants to be paid like one of the top players in the league. But the Steelers still want to pay him like one of the top running backs, and that's what they see it. I mean, you know, certain teams, that the Steelers may not value the running back position as much as he thinks he should be valued, and they just can't reach a common ground. I mean, this has been going on for, it seemed like, 3 years with the Steelers. On the surface, to me, he still looks like he's the best overall running back in the league. So we'll see. I mean, his agent's already coming out saying we don't expect him to be with the Steelers come next year. But the Steelers could, if they decide, they could franchise him again. And so, I mean, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens with that, or if they have some kind of agreement that's saying they're not going to franchise him anymore. But they could possibly still franchise him again. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
But the scary thing for Le'Veon Bell is, I mean, you got to stay healthy, especially at that position, because one major injury, the next year he doesn't have a team at all.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not – it's tough, man, for security purposes, man. So you better – you're getting that top dollar for the year. You better, like, you know, definitely save it, however you want to call that. But then, yeah, it's a tough scenario because he's trying to get that contract so he can set himself up for – this is probably his contract, right, so I can set myself up. And then just for whatever reason, it's definitely a gamble, as you mentioned, man. So, yeah. All right, man. So, sorry, JQ, bro, but that sucks that he can't jump back on, man. So we're just going to hold it off. But it's all good, man. But let's just kind of talk about our NFC West predictions here. And you did kind of tease it going into the OT portion here. And we talked about the squads. We got Seattle. You got the 49ers. You got the Rams. You know, talk about this, your thoughts as far as that as well, too, bro.
Well, I think when I look at this division, obviously from a personnel standpoint, it's the Rams all day long repeating in this division. When we look at the talent, we look at the defensive tackle situation with Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue. You look at what they've done to improve their cornerback situation, their overall defense, and now you give yourself another weapon on offense and Brandon Cooks, another toy. Jared Goff's breakout year last season. So from a personnel standpoint, on paper, obviously we still have to play the games. But for me, the Rams are in contention to be a team that can win the entire NFC next year. And so I have them at the number one spot in the NFC West. Number two, maybe a little bit of a surprise, but I got the 49ers in the number two spot.
Yeah.
You look at the development of Jimmy Garoppolo and the way that organization seems to be progressing. Look for them to be better on defense as well as on offense. I don't know if they're a playoff team just yet, but I suspect that this team will be in the running somewhere between 7-9 and 9-7 and finish second place in the NFC West. Number three, Seattle. Obviously, you still got Russell Wilson. I mean, I think, you know, that keeps them in the mix. I suspect that they'll at least be still competitive on defense. But a lot of personnel that they've lost and got to replace here from the last couple of years. So I suspect they will fall off a little bit and finish in third place. And bringing up the rear, Arizona Cardinals here. Still got some question marks at quarterback. Obviously, they got Josh Rosen. Is it going to be Sam Bradford?
Yep.
Obviously, you still got Patrick Peterson on defense and some playmakers on that side of the football. But I just think the question mark is still the quarterback position for them going into this season, and that's why I would have to put them in last place in that division.
Yeah, and that's a good call, too, because, again, you got to worry about, you know, David Johnson, his health, he's coming back. They do have, you know, a pretty young squad, but, again, you nailed it with the questions at quarterback. You know, Josh Rosen could surprise us, bro, but for now, they do have a lot of questions with that squad, you know, new coaching staff, you know, new things to knock out. I agree with you heartily with the Rams, number one. They made a lot of moves. On paper, they look like they're the team to beat, man. Man, getting Dominic Sue, like you talked about, you know, Todd Gurley, that offense, getting Brandon Cooks. Man, I mean, on paper, you know, getting, you know, freaking Marcus Peters. They look like they're, like, going all in. This is like we're taking our shot right now. But you got to play the games, right? You know, you got to play the games. So, right now, that's the squad that I definitely agree is on the cusp. 49ers, same page as far as that. I was a huge fan as far as only because of what I've seen as far as with Kyle Shanahan. Very intelligent coach, man. He he's able to put players in position to make plays. So you don't necessarily have to have a star receiver or a star team to make things work. So he schemes players open, man. So that's why I was definitely excited about what they were able to do with the 49ers. And again, not saying that they're there yet, but they're going to make a pretty big improvement. The defense is still solid. They get veteran with Richard Sherman. You can say what you want. He may be on his last tour here, and you know, kind of the injury too. So you kind of hope he just can bring a veteran presence to that young squad on the secondary side. But I agree with you as far as that. And then as far as the Seahawks, they've definitely lost a lot of pieces. You know, as far as due injuries, but then also Russell Westbrook. He's kind of like – they still haven't kind of solved their running back issues, Rob. And then – yeah, Russell, I'm sorry. I'm going to say Russell Wilson. So you got to think about what's happening with them too. So I kind of feel sorry for Russell now, because now he's like – he's going to get that big contract, and then he may not have anybody there, man. So just an interesting situation. But they've lost too much to make a move as far as now, man. So they're going to have to reload, retool, and kind of play from that position too. They may surprise us, but I think, like you said, they're kind of that third best team in the league, man, or in that division. Mm-hmm. So, all good. All right, man. So I guess that's pretty much it. The last thing we've hit everything as well, man. Let's go ahead and wrap this up, man, and get ready to hit up next week since we lost JQ, man. And I'm sure we'd make the show last a little longer with JQ on, but we can go and wrap it up, sir, as we always do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back at you on this coming Sunday night, coming back on a short week. Once again, it's going to be this coming Sunday night. That's going to be July 22nd. We'll be back on 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We thank you all for tuning in. On tonight, I know we've been running an hour and a half for the last several shows. Tonight, just a little bit over an hour, but hopefully you all enjoyed it and got some good information on what's happening in the sports world. Obviously, we know NFL training camp's getting ready to start, so we're going to be gearing up for football season. Obviously, we still got a lot of movement in the NBA right now, so we're going to keep you covered on that, and we're getting ready to go into the second half of the Major League Baseball season. Congrats to France on winning the World Cup, and it's an exciting time right now in France and a big party they're having in Paris. So congrats to the French over there in Europe. Good night, people.
And I know we had SEC Media Days, too. I know we'll talk about that hopefully next week as a topic as far as what's happening, too. College football is right around the corner as well as we get excited about opening training camp, too, man. So good stuff, man. But, again, shout out JQ, man. We apologize, man. I do not know what happened with that, man. But, Blog Talk had a little challenges with me logging on early, too. So I don't know. It's all par for the course sometimes. But anyway, we'll catch you next week.
You ready Sunday night, JQ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all good. We'll text them and we'll keep them in the loop, fellas, too. So it's all about. Have a great evening, bro. If anything, Rob, give me a heads up, man. We'll be texting throughout the week as well, all right?
All right. Good night, my brother.
Yes, sir. Good night, people.